Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Matthew 11, verse 28, people, that's our scripture. And for the next 20, 25 minutes, I want you to give me full attention. If you're in a device, just go to the scripture or take notes and whatever. Matthew 11, 28, come to me. Everybody say it with me. Would you come to me? All you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is awesome. You know, peace is one of God's greatest desires for your life, which would mean that chaos, confusion, irritation, frustration, agitation, itchiness are all the devil's desire for your life, that you are constantly stressed, under pressure, burdened. But Jesus says, come to me and I'll relieve you from all of that. Do you know this microphone's going to go off and on every now and then? Is that correct? Yes. But we'll get through the sermon. There's a problem. To reset it could take 1.5 minutes to 2 hours. So I said, don't bother. Amen. We'll just cope with the little Morse code gaps every now and then. So, where was I? I was at the creation of man on the sixth day, right? Man and woman created on the sixth day. Am I right?
Yes.
What was the seventh day?
Rest.
What? God created man on the sixth day, and his first day is a day off? There must have been unions there, you know, like. What? They had a, that was his first day of being alive, of being created, was have a rest. Which means to me that we should not work to rest, but work from rest. Because he had 6 days he was going to work after that, tending a garden that God put him in. But he wasn't going to work and think, oh, finally, the weekend's coming. He's saying, no, I'm going to work from rest. Rest is going to be the platform of my life, not the reward of my life. I'm going to walk, not run. I'm going to be at peace and not rushed and busy. And there's that piece of our lives that wants to look busy and be impressive to everybody else because we work hard and we're always active and we're too busy to sleep. And do you ever see heroes in Bible in movies sleep? I mean, they just don't seem to ever go to sleep. Like they don't eat, they don't sleep and do other stuff. It's just like they're heroes full time. And the fact is that God is saying to you and I want you to be at peace. When you're at peace, you're whole. You're integrated. When your heart and your mouth and your mind and your actions are all aligned, that's called integration. So that would mean that when your heart's going one direction, your mind's going another, your actions are another, that's disintegration. So we are disintegrating. That's when people say, my world is falling apart, because they're not whole, which is another word for peace. And peace is a tricky message for, you know, to preach on. Because on the one hand, I don't want to end up with a dozy church. And I'm like, oh, well, we're going to sleep then, you know, if it's peace time. But on the other hand, I know that everybody functions far better when they're at peace in their heart and not tormented with guilt, tormented with spiritual activity that is fracturing their soul. God, every time there's a letter written, the first words that the writer invokes throughout all the New Testament is peace to you. And I would say that probably we need peace invoked on us every day because it kind of leaks. Throughout the day, you get wound up. The spring gets tighter and tighter. And if you have no pressure relief valve in your life, you're just going to keep getting wound up all the way until you're exploding over everybody around you, and or imploding inside and collapsing. And that is not what God has designed for your life. He's designed for you to live at peace, letting it rule in your heart and in your mind, so that you can think clearly. It's not just a jumble of wild, crazy thoughts up there, overthinking one other layer, another layer. I mean, if I was to climb inside your head this morning, I reckon I could find about 5 channels in there that are all concurrently at work. What am I going to have for dinner? Did I leave the iron on? Did I leave the heater on? Where are my keys for my car? I hope I find my car. Is he going to go on forever like this? There's one going on in Chinese. It's like you got all this in there, and then occasionally you hear something I say, whoa, that was a good thought. Back to my. It's like your mind and my mind, the thoughts often rule us, but your mind is meant to be your servant, not your master. And your spiritual life should be ruling, and you get a rulership of your spirit by keeping it open and bubbling on the inside of you like a fountain, just through worshiping. But it shuts down when you let your head and every other thing start to control your world, and it starts to be controlled by anxiety and negative thinking. And so those things, God is saying, I want to bring peace into your life. And hopefully I can show you how to do that. And whatever I lack in this message, you can pick up in this book. You can download it on Kindle, etc. And so I want you to get a hold of that, because I know that your potential in life, your maximum gifting ability is going to come up out of a peaceful heart, not an agitated, tormented heart. So his peace means you're whole, means you're at peace with yourself. You're at peace with God, with others, and with your circumstances and the world around you. You're not rushing through life, failing to enjoy every step of the way. You're not anxious about your past. You're not worried about your present or concerned about your future. You're not stressing about the amount of things you have to do. You're not paranoid about what others think of you. You don't have any phobias about your body, your clothes, what you eat, how tall you are. You're not fearful about your finances, your house, your family, or your job. That describes every one of you in here, right? I mean, at the same time, we're thinking, man, there's a few boxes I could have ticked on that's not me. And God is wanting to say, hey, come walk with me, and you're going to live at peace. So that scripture that we started with, come to me. I don't know how you got here today or how you even got into the kingdom, but I do know some people that have been dragged to church. They've been drugged to church, or that they're because of obligation, or that they're because they feel guilty if they don't. There's another force other than your will that's actually getting you there. But Jesus is saying, I want you to intentionalize why you're here and get into the world of, I want to be here. I'm here because I've decided to be here, and I'm going to get into this, rather than doing it just because, oh, I got to do it. Here comes the other, I'm going to give. Oh, here comes, all right, got to do this. And if you're in the got to do zone, you're never actually going to have your heart or your will involved. Never underestimate the power of your decision, the power of your will. When you set your will in motion, it's sovereign. God will move with your decision. And as you make a decision to resist the devil, he will flee from you. As you make a decision to bring God, to draw near to God, it will happen. When Chris and I started our little church in a town called Littleton, our first church we ever had, our next door neighbors were Scottish, and we wanted to reach out to them and try and bring them to Christ and have them as members of the church. So we reached out, and first, the first member of the family who came was Una, their daughter, and bright red hair, bushy red hair, a real Scot girl. And she came to Christ, and we talked to her about the Lord, and so she started following Jesus. And then we reached out to her brother and his friend, Rob, John and Rob. And Chris, you know, she takes a scripture reach, use all means to reach every man, you know. So she had just baked a cake, and she could see these two boys skateboarding down on the road. She said, boys, I just baked a cake. Do you want to come and lick the bowl? And so it was an open door for them. They said, sure. And they came up, and they were so hungry to know about God. with, like, they said, what do you, you know, and what do you think about Buddha? What do you think about, you know, how about evolution? And they were arguing. And then finally, Rob said, okay, I want Jesus. And so he asked Christ to come into his life. His friend, John, the brother of, you know, he was more resistant. He was, oh, yeah. He was angry with everybody. And he would smash his fist on the table. He'd punch the wall when we were talking to him about Jesus. And I'm just a young man, but so angry, way too angry for a boy his age. And he was using all the wrong kind of words. And eventually I said to him, you know, man, you've got a demon. You're out of control. And I'm going to cast it out of you. And he said, really? I said, yeah, just sit there. And I went for it. Don't get too excited. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. I said, get out of here. Get out of here. Got a voice like this at the end of it. It took me an hour. I said, oh. I said, okay, go home. Something's going to happen overnight. Nothing happened overnight. And he came back the next day, and he said to me, you know, yesterday when you said I might have a demon, I didn't agree with you. I thought, no, that's not true. But overnight, you know, I feel like something's telling me you're right. And I'm coming to you and asking you, could you get rid of it? I just said, in the name of Jesus. He was free in a second. In a second, just bang, like that. And I learned that day that unless a person comes to Christ, you haven't got any right to overrule their decision, because their will is sovereign in their life. I can't manipulate or make a person receive Christ or receive anything from God. Every person will stand before the Lord on the basis of their own decisions. You can't say, oh, my mother, you know, she made me do that. It's like God says, no, you got to actually be responsible. And when you make a decision to come to Christ, you will find rest comes in your soul. And you may have found some of the things that you think should have worked for you in the kingdom haven't yet worked. Well, maybe it's about your will, setting your will in alignment with the call of God on your life. Come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. I find this scripture to be a guiding force for us as a church, because we are the body of Christ, as it were, Christ on earth. We should be able to say, come to church and you'll find rest for your souls. You won't find pressure. You won't find stress. Come into the house of God. You're going to be relieved from burden. See? Magic. And the power of God will rest on you. And rather than wind you up, it'll unwind you. And you'll find a rest so that you are able to appreciate life at a deeper level. You're able to actually connect with God and people at a meaningful level and not just skim through life, rushing over all the surfaces of everything. Come to me, all you who labor. The word means fatigued, exhausted. If I was to say how many of you feel exhausted this morning, I guarantee maybe half, I won't ask, but a lot of people feel like they're worn out, at the end of their rope, at the end of their living, at the end of their nerves, just so stressed. When surveys are done of what congregations would like their pastors to speak about, this is all around the world, managing stress is at the top. Relationships is another one. But how do I manage a stress-filled life? Well, stress is never going to go away, but within the things that cause your internal stress, you can actually have a peace so that they do not overwhelm you, so that you've got like Teflon all over yourself. It's called the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. When you commit all your ways to God and cast your burden on Him, it says, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, will fortress, Teflon, enamel, ceramic, your heart and mind from all those things from overwhelming you on the inside. And some of us feel like we're drowning on the inside sometimes with the amount of things we've got to do and the worries and the concerns. Here today, before we finish the service, I am believing that you'll find He'll ease troubled minds. He'll give your heart wings so you'll be strong again. You can rise up in the midst of whatever is against you, whatever mountains seem to be threatening you, and you will be victorious. You're going to walk out of here with peace in your heart in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, people, when we clap, we clap. Amen. Woo! There was a guy in the Bible, a demoniac from Gadara. You'll read about it in Mark chapter 5. He was filled with 6,000 demons, and even that couldn't subjugate his will. The will of man is very powerful. He still came to Christ. When Jesus came to the shore, this demoniac ran to him and got set free in a second because of the power of God. If he had run from God, he would have been as bound as he ever was. But because he ran to him, when you've got a problem, don't let it chase you away from the Father. He's here to help you. He's here to lift you and to strengthen you and to give you that rest in your soul. So Jesus says, just come to me, connect with me. You'll find I'm the Prince of Peace. Peace will come into your life. And as a church, when people come into the house of God, they should find peace in their life. I feel guilty because every day of my life is fun. I mean, I just like my life. Should I feel guilty about that? No. Oh, I so shouldn't, because I do what I've been called to do. Now, if you called me, if you said, now, Pastor Phil, this week you're on children's church. Oh, that wouldn't be fun for me. Wouldn't be fun for the kids. There may be deaths. You know, it's like, I don't know what would happen, but I am not called to that. My heart would sink. If you said, oh, we got you on this now. It'd be like asking Mark Sondercock to become the administrator for the church, you know, or we'd have a party for 3 days, then we're broke. And it's like... So when people are round pegs and round holes, life's, the pressure of life is not there. So many people are trying to do stuff that you're not meant to do because of religious obligation, Christian pressure in your head. Oh, I'm meant to be doing this. I can't ask anybody to help me because I'm a Christian. Oh, but I can't say no to anybody. Everybody's asking me to help them do this, do that, do that. And you find that there's no boundaries in your world. I have boundaries in my world that help me say no. And because I get letters on my desk every day asking me to do this, for money for this, can you come here, can you do this? And I got to be able to say no without feeling any guilt. I know what I'm meant to do. I refuse guilt to bully my head. It's not, I beat the bully, baby. I know what I'm meant to do, and it's enough. Thank you very much. And so to carry out what God has called us to do, he didn't call us to pressure. He called us to rest, to a beautiful life, an abundant life, a whole life. Our promised land is a land of rest. You know, when you come into the house of God, it feels like home. I don't know about you. I feel at home in the house of God as anywhere in my world, because I love the people of God. I love the family of God, just the presence of the Father. You know, when you go away on a holiday and you, like years ago, you went away for a holiday to get wrecked on Keppel Island. Can you remember that? No way does anybody advertise that these days. Come away. There's only 3 people on the island. We have no television sets. And there's a 90-mile beach with nobody on it. You can walk all day and relax. Everybody wants this peace. But even if you go to the best hotel, spa deal in the world, I can guarantee you when you walk into your home, it's an even better feeling. You'll say, it's so good to be home. Because to be home is like where you can settle down. That album that we've just released, Abide. It's like that's what we do in Christ. We abide. We come to our abode. We've left a lot of space on purpose in that album to try and bring the sense of abiding and dwelling and settling. I find I can listen to the whole album without clicking through tracks and trying to find something that's less noisy. It's like I just like having it there in my back room, in my background, because it has presence with it. It has the touch of God on it. Okay, so let's go to this next thing of where is the source of strife in your circumstances. James 4 verse 1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from within you, from your desires and pleasures at war in your members? So here is James saying, look, maybe the stress on the outside is the result of stress on the inside. I want to take you to 2 Timothy 3:1. This is a long scripture. I'm going to read it quick. Know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. You'd have to admit, we've got some peril in our world today. Terrible things happening. Perilous times will come. For, this is why, Men will be lovers of themselves, selfies. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's a kind of a horrendous list, right? If you Google, why are there perilous times in the world, which I have done, not one of these things comes up. You will find that governments are corrupt, people are evil, you know, whatever. Well, they don't actually say people are evil. They go through all this list. Even dingoes are in the list. Why are there perilous times? But it's a character problem. Perilous times come because we've got character collapsing on the inside of us. No integration or integrity, a wholeness on the inside. And peace is being whole on the inside. But let me read the last line of this passage, which is kind of scary. After that big long list, we go, ooh, that's a terrible bunch of people. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denies power. These guys go to church. Oh, this is horrible. Like that whole list of things, we think, oh yeah, that's those. No, there are people who are living like this who have not made the decision, I'm going to actually be transformed in my character. Not just, you know, not just go along to church and enjoy the experience. I'm actually going to let there be a transforming force make me different, make me a new person, make me born again. And peace resides on a person who's told the truth. They're not worried about being found out. True peace rests on a person who hasn't got stuff in their cupboard. You know, the nervous skeleton's going to be found out because they've repented and they've come to Christ. They've come into the light. Peace comes on our lives when you have got Christ in your world and you're unashamed of that. You're not trying to hide him and you're worried about being known as a... And peace has some conditions with it. And the more we grow into the character of Christ, the greater rest you're going to have on the inside of your life. I want to give you three things quickly at the end of this message that describe what abiding in Christ is, abiding in peace. Because sometimes I think we believe certain things without experiencing them. And we go like, yeah, I believe I'm meant to be peaceful and it's there somewhere. But meanwhile, I'm just going to live this very frazzled life. I believe the presence of God is there somewhere. I can't feel it, but apparently he's there. The Bible says he is. But I got to tell you, God does not create a world that we live in to not be experienced. You don't go like, apparently the sun's got some heat. Never felt it, but no, I'm just going to believe what I'm told. It's a hot thing. No, you can feel heat on your skin, and it's a beautiful feeling. Feel wind, rain. And God, when he's present, is experienced, and it lands in our real life. And so that peace is experienced, that wholeness is experienced in the house of God. Psalm 84 is all about getting to the house of God and then abiding in it. And when we settle, first thing about abiding in Christ is being in church, being part of the assembled believers. Listen to these. This is a survey done by some scientists and researching. And these aren't all Christian scientists. These are secular as well. Mortality rates for men and women who frequently attend religious services appear to be lower than the rates for those who attend less often. So going to church is going to help you live longer. Without any shadow of a doubt. Cancer, people who attend religious services are more frequently tend to be less likely to have cancer. Psychological health, people who frequently participate in religious social activities and pray with others are less likely to exhibit depression, anxiety, disorder, and phobia. Stress, individuals who attend religious services more frequently exhibit on average lower levels of stress than peers who attend less often. Childhood sadness and loneliness. Children whose fathers attended church and whose parents both attended church frequently were less likely to report feeling sad or lonely. Suicide. On average, youths who attend religious services and their activities more often and assign a higher importance to religion in their lives are less likely to consider suicide or attempt it. I'm not saying that coming to church quarantines you against trouble. In fact, being a follower of Christ could attract more than you expected. But he said, be of good cheer. Even though in the world you're going to have tribulation, I've overcome the world and I give you peace in the midst of your trouble. So when everybody else is losing their head, find that living in Christ is being in the house of God. That's going to increase your possibilities of a whole life, of a peaceful life, incredibly. Number two, abiding in Christ is abiding in his word. And I got two scriptures here I just got to share with you. Psalm 119, verse 165. Listen to this. Great peace. Say that with me. Great peace. Say it again. Great peace. Great peace of they who love your word, love your law. Nothing shall offend them. You're unoffendable. You're like covered, fortress by the word of God. Can I ask you when you last read the Bible? I mean, if you read it every day, and I don't mean just read it, reading scripture, I mean digest it, think it through, take a hold of this passage, go home, just read that passage for the rest of the afternoon. Great peace have they which love your law. And you'll find that peace will come with that word. What you meditate on becomes reality in your life. Nothing shall offend them. How about this one? Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. When you get your mind on the word of God, perfect peace. This is the best pill you could have. Forget about Valium. Forget about whatever else, other substances or artificial peace bringers you've got. Go to this word and let it sink into your hearts. You're going to find that it brings you peace. The last one, abide in prayer. I mean, every morning I wake up with some anxiety, you know, like how many people have registered for presents? And are we going to make the budget? And yes, we are, thankfully. Amen. We're going to actually creep over the line within about 2 weeks on this year's. But then, when, you know, I mean, in moments of inspiration, I find I do some, we do some kind of crazy things every now and then. So we booked the ICC for next year, okay? It's a decent step of faith. It's up in those seven numbers. And you go, okay, let's book it. Yeah. And then they say, well, the next year's got a couple penciled in as well. We said, what? Book it again. And we booked it all the way to 2020. So year after year after year. We're committed, people. Amen. So now we've taken our step. Yeah. Now your turn. Actually, yes, and form a group, whatever. But you see, I wake up with that thought thinking, oh my God, you know, like, here we go. And then there's some church in wherever in the world that's having a few difficulties. Then there's this guy, and then there's that, and there's this. And there's always stuff that's there. But in prayer, a miracle happens. Every day, just as you pray, it gradually evaporates and goes. And you come out of that time and you're free to think about clearly all the things that are ahead of you and to get inspired rather than just surviving, rather than just making it through, you're storming through and you're spreading every area of your life, expanding.
We are seeing so many lives transformed as a result of your faithful generosity and your partnership. Your giving has allowed this podcast and the Your Best Life TV show to bring the good news of Jesus into countless homes all throughout the world. And thousands of lives have been transformed both near and far.
Real Men Gathering 2016 featuring Dr. A.R. Bernard, Phil Pringle and the C3 team. August 27th and 28th at C3 Church, Oxford Falls. For more details, visit myc3church.net.
Thanks for listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.